Every Monday, we get to speak to a member of the Diamondbacks front office. Today, it is the busiest man in the organization, Derek Ladner, the director of amateur scouting. And, well, I know this has got to be fun, right? This is the most fun. This is the most trying, the hardest work. Having seven of the first 75 picks is pretty great, too. Just take us through, what's the draft week like, the week leading up to the draft?
Well, It is extremely busy, as you can only imagine. Basically, what we've done is obviously our body of work starting the day after the draft ended last year was to start the process of the players for this year's draft. And knowing the heightened awareness of the number of picks that we've got that we potentially could have had back then. So, I mean, we've had a lot of manpower out there since then. I mean, we started in the summer. Everybody pounded it to get all the follows in for the upcoming draft, which is this spring. And now, basically, what we've done is we have compiled all of the reports on all of the players. I mean, there are certain players we have 15 different reports from 15 different players, or some guys we have 5 different reports based upon, you know, where we think that player might end up in the draft. And we basically take all of this information, we combine it with all of the analytical information, all of the pitch data information, you know, all of the exit velocity information. We combine it with the pure scouting reports, and we start putting our board together and ranking the players, you know, from one till, you know, maybe we'll have 900 players turned in, you know. Obviously, the emphasis put on the top guys. And we're sitting – I mean, I came in yesterday, and now we're starting to look at the board, see how it's lined up just preliminarily before we really get into the nuts and bolts of how we want this draft board and the strategy that we're going to put into place because of the number of picks that we have and the amount of money that we have to spend. So it'll be different than drafts that we've previously had just because of that. And the cool part for me is simply that every player is in play. I mean, there's not really a guy that's a signability issue because, you know, if we want to spend it on one player or two players more than we normally would, we can. Or do we try to spread it out over a bigger group of guys, you know, to get more, you know, quantity and quality in the organization. So all of those decisions are going to be made during the course of the next, you know, 8 days or so. All of the scouts will come in on Sunday. We'll get together, have a dinner, and then Monday morning it's rock and roll time and a lot of sleepless nights and we break these guys down, including all of the information. There'll be arguments, there'll be disagreements, there'll be agreements. And at the end of the day, you know, we come together as a group and say, okay, this is the way we're going to do this. And then the cool part about the draft is you really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we may like this group of players and they're gone. So we have to have strategy in place to get the next group of guys. I mean, we pick 16, you know, so it's going to be 15 guys that we probably like that are going to be gone. So hopefully the guy that we want at 16 will be there. And if not, then we have to make an adjustment and just keep going. So it's like a chess game, basically. Right. And we want to be prepared for any different scenario that can happen during the course of the draft, you know, and we will be. I mean, we've got some brilliant minds in this organization. And with all of the data that we've got, we should be able to put this board together to where it works in the best interest of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay, so let's talk about the actual, like, how do you put the board together? Is it somebody shouts out a name, everybody starts arguing, analytics guys crunch numbers? How does it work? How do you set up an actual draft board?
Basically, it's a ranking system. I mean, it's the profile of the player, what type of player we ultimately feel like. Obviously, the best players are going to be on the top of this board based upon their physical skills, their mental skills. And that's where the data comes in for the pitch data. That's where the analytics come into play to see if it pairs up with that player. And we just combine all of that information and we start ranking the players based upon, I don't want to say there's necessarily a formula for, you know, number 1 to number 15 to number 30, because there's a lot of different factors that go into that. But we'll literally, I have columns, we'll have a top 120 board basically where I go 1 through 20, you know, 21 through 40. And we'll line those guys up, and they'll be in some type of order when we start. But when we're finished, they will not be in that same order based upon all the things that I mentioned earlier about strategy and where a player might go, the perception of where a player may go. There's a lot of different factors that go into it. And I'll go around the room, and I'll ask everybody's opinion about this player. I've got the reports in front of me. I can read them. But for me, it's more the verbal part of it, the passion that they show in this player. You know, what type of player that you ultimately think he's going to be, and do you think he is the type of player that can become an Arizona Diamondback and play on this big field right behind us?
So when you have guys that are very similar, at least in terms of what their future role is, I would assume that that's where the most discussion comes. So how do you make that decision that your player A is 17, player B is 18, when everything is razor thin between them?
I think, and you're accurate when you say that, because there'll be a group of guys that, let's say there's four guys, and man, they all read the same, they all sound the same, they all look like they're going to be the same type of, you know, major league producer. I honestly, it comes down to me listening to these guys and listening to everyone in the room and kind of getting the passion and the feel as to which way they should go, and we'll adjust them. I mean, that part gets very detailed, and honestly, you know, one guy may want one guy above this guy, or one guy may want this guy down a little bit more. So ultimately, at the end of the day, we'll come together. I mean, and it is, those are the toughest decisions, because that one player might be the one big leaguer of those four guys that ends up playing in the big leagues and being a productive guy. So that part gets very, very difficult at times, so quite frankly, because, I mean, you have difference of opinions, and we've got a lot of experienced evaluators in that room, and I kind of weigh that too. Is that the guys with the most experience that have seen the most players, in my mind, they may weigh a little bit heavier than some of the guys who aren't as experienced. And like I said, we're fortunate because we do have a lot of people that have 20 plus years of evaluating and have had tremendous success in this industry in scouting. So their opinion, it weighs a little bit more than maybe someone who doesn't have as much experience.
When does the board get locked in finally? Because I know you mentioned signability, and it's not an issue. I mean, with the overages that you're allowed to spend and not lose a pick, you have nearly $17 million to spend. It shouldn't be a huge issue. But there are those moments of negotiation that you're trying to find out what a player will sign for ahead of the draft. So when does that board finally get locked in? You're like, this is the final version. This is what I'm submitting to the professor for my final exam.
Well, I mean, you try to get the board locked in at least a day before. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like the day before the draft, I would like to have everything done. But during the course of the draft, and this is what becomes fun, is, you know, you start seeing where a player is going to go, who took who, a player may be sliding. And, you know, sometimes we'll get on the telephones with the agents and say, look, I know you thought this guy was going to go here. It hadn't happened. You know, our next pick is, you know, 56. What's it going to take? So then that's where the negotiation that actually happens, you know, in real time. And we'll run into this room that we're having this interview, and we'll get on the telephone, we'll talk to the agent, try to get something going, some type of dialogue, so that we feel like we have a chance to sign this player or don't sign this player. And there's times where like Amiel will come in here or Hayes will come in here, and I usually have to be sitting there because I'm watching the board and the names and everything go off, and you're waiting to get some type of feedback as to, you know, can we select that player, not select that player, and then all of a sudden it says, okay, Arizona, you're on the clock, and I'm sitting there going, okay, let's make a decision here on this. So that's the fun part, honestly. I mean, it's stressful, but that's what makes this so much fun for us, is because it is a game of strategy, and you have to be efficient with your time. And you have to be ready to get on the telephone and start doing some talking to figure out whether or not we can select this player and have a chance to sign this player.
Seven of the first 75 picks. What kind of impact can this have on the franchise? Because I know you've been through some drafts that have been franchise-altering that you've run, but I don't know that you've had seven of the first 75 picks before.
No, it is. It's. I don't want to say it's overwhelming, because it's not. I mean, it's literally, when you look at the dynamics of what it can do for this organization and set this organization up for 10 years, we have to do an exceptional job. That's the bottom line. Otherwise, it's going to impact this organization, because there may not be another year for 10 years that we have these type of selections. And if we do the job the way that we're supposed to do it, then we're going to look up and our minor league system is going to be loaded with players. We're going to have players that Mike Hazen can – hopefully get to the big leagues, or maybe they become part of a trade, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It gives us a lot more flexibility as an organization to do things that we feel like are in the best interest of the organization. But it just changes the entire talent pool of your organization, because if you talk about seven guys, and let's say you hit on all seven, that changes, you know, and you know, the probability of that, you and I both know, is not right, very high. Right. But the value of the player that we select is high the minute we do it. So there's a lot of different factors that go into that. And it just basically creates an organization that now is moving in the right direction to try to build a foundation that can sustain this organization for a very long time.
Do you love the pressure of this?
Oh, you have no idea. I wouldn't have been doing it for as long as I've been doing it if I didn't. And my wife always laughs at me when she says, you just love this stuff. And I said, I do. I said, because it's so fast. And you work so hard, and you, and the men that work for you work so hard and have such passion, and you realize all of the sacrifices that everybody's made starting the day after the draft of last year. And it's really a team effort is what it is. And you take pride in watching everybody really come together, work together as a team, and try to accomplish, you know, the greatest feat. And that's for us to win a World Series. We know that. And what we do here is the start of that. And I just, you know, there's nothing better than watching your players get to the big leagues and make an impact in the organization and hopefully win a championship. There's no better feeling in the world.
Derek, best of luck next Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good luck.
I really appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Derek Ladner joining us on the BP Show, Diamondbacks Radio Network.